Okay, so I want you to picture the most boring website you can possibly imagine. We're talking about a site where you go to buy liability coverage. You're looking at these drop-down menus for things like guide and outfitter insurance, vacant land insurance, legal disclaimers, deductibles. It is just the definition of dry.
It's the kind of place on the internet where, fun usually goes to die. We were
Exactly.
there because you have to be, not because you want to be.
And yet, right in the middle of this desert of actuarial tables and risk assessments, we found something completely unexpected. We found a call to action that has nothing to do with premiums or deductibles. So today we are doing a deep dive into a blog post from the AHLA, that's the American Hunting Lease Association, and they aren't asking for your credit card. They're asking for your grandma's pot roast recipe.
It creates such a jarring cognitive dissonance, doesn't
That's
it?
wild.
You have this organization, the AHLA, and their entire existence is built on risk management. Their job is to worry about the worst-case scenarios. Someone falling out of a tree stand, a firearm accident, a lawsuit over property lines.
All the stuff you don't want to think about.
And then they pivot so hard from that high-stress environment, and they want to talk about home cooking.
It's such a fascinating pivot. And look, on the surface, this might just seem like a cute little engagement tactic.
Sure, may send us a recipe.
We'll put it in a PDF. But when you actually read the text of this post, and specifically how they ask for these recipes, it reveals a much smarter, much deeper strategy about building community.
I would argue it's actually a sophisticated retention play disguised as a community project.
Okay, let's unpack that, because before we get to the food, we have to understand the room we're in. The source text gives us that navigation menu on the site. We see a hunting lease club, insurance, lease spotter, landowner resources. Who is the actual human being that's visiting this site?
That is the critical context. You've
Yeah.
got two really distinct groups here.
Oh.
First, you have the guide and outfitter. This is a person whose entire livelihood depends on taking strangers into the woods. It is incredibly high stakes.
I can't even imagine.
If a client trips on a route and breaks an ankle, that guide could lose their whole business. So when they come to this site, they are in a defensive posture. They are worried.
And the second group.
The vacant landowners. These are often people who own, 40 or 50 acres somewhere. Maybe they inherit it, maybe it's an investment, but they don't live there.
They're absentee landlords.
Exactly. They feel disconnected from the land. They're worried about trespassers. They're worried about liability.
So you have a stressed out business owner and a disconnected landowner.
And both are probably looking at this as a grudge purchase.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wakes up excited to buy liability insurance.
Exactly. It's a utility. And the problem with utilities is that there's zero loyalty.
None.
If a competitor comes along and offers that vacant land insurance for $10 less a year, that customer's gone.
Gone. There is no emotional tether holding them to the AHLA.
Until they introduce the cookbook.
The cookbook. The post is titled AHLA Cookbook, and it opens with this line: "Help us build our own AHLA hunting cookbook."
Our own. That is the first tactical move right there.
What do you mean?
They didn't say download the AHLA corporate cookbook. They said help us build our own. It immediately shifts the dynamic from company to client to member to member.
It effectively invites the customer into the C-suite, or at least into the break room. But here's the part that I think is just brilliant and also kind of
Oh,
hilarious.
I know exactly which line you were looking at.
They have a very specific enemy in mind.
They do.
It's the anti-internet rant. They write, "You will have homemade recipes for every type of hunt, not these internet industry recipes that doesn't have grandma's touch."
Internet industry recipes? It is
Yeah.
such a specific, loaded phrase.
It's dripping with disdain. But I think we need to clarify what they mean, because they are posting this on the internet. Isn't it a bit ironic to bash the internet industry on a blog post?
It is, but it's a calculated cultural signal. I mean, think about the user experience of finding a recipe online today. You search for, say, venison chili. You click the first link. What happens?
Oh, I know. You have to scroll past 2,000 words about the author's childhood in Connecticut and how the autumn leaves smelled and their relationship with their father.
And the pop-up ads and the video that follows you down the screen.
The newsletter sign up.
It is a user experience that's designed for SEO search engine optimization, not for the person who's actually cooking.
Right. It feels manufactured.
It feels extractive.
Yeah.
The author doesn't really care if you cooked the chili, they just care that you stayed on the page long enough for the ads to load.
It's content, not knowledge.
Precisely. And the AHLA audience hunters, landowners, outfitters, these are, you know, utilitarians. They're practical people.
Mm-hmm.
To them, that internet industry fluff isn't just annoying. It's almost offensive. It represents a total lack of authenticity.
So when the AHLA says, not these internet industry recipes, they are signaling, hey, we are not like those people. We are like you. We just want the meat and potatoes.
It's a tribal signal. They are defining an out-group, the mm-hmm. SEO bloggers, to strengthen the bond of the in-group.
The hunters?
They are saying, we value grandma's touch, which is basically the opposite of an algorithm.
Let's talk about grandma's touch for a second, because that's the other side of this coin. They aren't just rejecting SEO. They're asking for heritage.
Yes, and this connects right back to the demographics we talked about.
Okay.
If you are a vacant landowner who doesn't get to visit your property often, or if you are a guide managing clients, you're looking for anchors, for tradition.
Right.
Grandma's touch implies that the recipe has survived the test of time. It hasn't been A/B tested for clicks. It's been tested on hungry families for generations.
It elevates the status of the customer, too. If I'm just an insurance buyer, I'm a line item on a spreadsheet. But if I possess a secret family recipe for elk stew, suddenly I have cultural capital. I have something valuable to contribute.
And that is how you solve the retention problem. You can leave an insurance company, but it's a lot harder to leave a community where you are a published author and a guardian of tradition.
Speaking of the meat and potatoes, though, there is a very practical element to this we shouldn't gloss over. The text says they want to help you get cooking all that meat in your freezer.
And this is the LeaseSpotter connection. The source material mentions LeaseSpotter, which is a service to find hunting land.
Right.
The end goal of leasing that land is the hunt. The result of the hunt is meat.
A lot of meat.
Hundreds of pounds, yeah. Potentially.
Good.
And this is a genuine pain point in the hunting community.
It is.
If you harvest a deer or an elk, you have a freezer full of protein that doesn't behave like grocery store beef. It's leaner, it can be gamey, it can be tough if you cook it wrong.
So if you don't have a good recipe, you might actually be wasting the very resource you spend all that time and money to get.
Exactly. And nothing feels worse to a hunter than waste.
Nothing.
By providing these recipes, the AHLA is actually helping their customers use the product, the land, and the lease more effectively. They are closing the loop on the lifestyle.
Oh, that's interesting.
They insure the land so you can hunt, and then they teach you how to eat so you can sustain yourself.
It shifts them from being a necessary evil, you know, the people you pay so you don't get sued,
right,
to being a partner in the success of the hunt.
Which is a much, much more defensible market position.
Okay, I want to look at the mechanics of how they're gathering this stuff because it is delightfully low tech.
It is.
The text says, send us your best recipes. You can send your recipes to Connor@ahuntinglease.org.
Connor?
Not submissions at, not info at, not recipes at.
Nope. Connor. It's a high-risk, high-reward strategy.
How so? It just feels friendly to me.
It is friendly, but from a corporate branding perspective, it's risky. I mean, what if Connor leaves the company next month?
Oh.
What if Connor gets overwhelmed? By using a specific first name, they are betting that the personal connection is worth a logistical headache.
It forces a human interaction. If I send an email to info@, I feel like I'm just shouting into a void. I don't expect a reply.
Sure.
But if I send an email to Connor, I picture a guy sitting at a desk. I feel a social obligation to send him a good recipe.
It creates accountability.
Yeah.
And it mimics the culture of the club insurance that's mentioned in the navigation. Hunting clubs are small, interpersonal groups.
You know everyone.
You know the treasurer. You know the president. By putting Connor out front, the AHLA is trying to replicate that small club feel on a national scale.
They're saying we aren't a faceless corporation.
We are just Connor and the team.
And Connor asks for something specific. He doesn't just want the ingredients. He says, include your name and state with the recipe.
The state request is vital. In the U.S., hunting culture is so deeply regional. A white-tailed deer diet in the cornfields of Ohio produces very different meat than a deer in the sagebrush of Nevada. And the cooking styles are different.
Right. You've got gumbo in the south, maybe pasties in the Upper Peninsula, that kind of thing.
Exactly. By asking for the state, Connor isn't just sorting data. He is building a map.
A map.
When this thing is finished, it won't just be a list of foods. It'll be a geographic representation of the AHLA community. A member in Florida can see a recipe from a member in Washington and think, wow, we are everywhere.
It validates the size and scope of the network without just bragging, like serving 50,000 customers. It shows rather than tells.
And it allows members to identify with their region. Hey, look, another Texas recipe. It builds these little micro communities inside the macro community.
Okay, we have to talk about the final product,
yeah.
The payoff. They promise to send you a printable booklet.
Yeah.
In the year of our Lord, 2026, they are offering a PDF designed to be printed out on paper. Why not an app? Why not a searchable database? Why paper?
This goes right back to the anti-internet stance.
Okay.
Think about where these recipes are being used. They're being used in hunting camps, in cabins, in kitchens, at 4 a.m. before a hunt.
Places with bad Wi-Fi.
Places with bad Wi-Fi and places that are dirty.
Yeah.
You have blood on your hands. You have flour. You have mud. You do not want to be swiping on a fragile glass screen with an expensive iPad in that environment.
Good point.
A printed booklet is rugged. It's durable.
It's disposable, but also permanent in a weird way.
It's utilitarian. It fits that guy and outfitter aesthetic.
Yeah.
If you drop a printed booklet in the chili, you just wipe it off or print a new page.
Right.
If you drop your phone in the chili, the whole weekend is ruined.
But I think there's a psychological part of the printable thing, too. We're seeing this in the broader culture right now, this move back toward physical media.
For sure. Vinyl records are back. People are buying film cameras.
Do you think this is tapping into that same post-digital desire?
Absolutely. Digital content feels so ephemeral. It feels like it could just disappear if the server crashes or if the company stops paying the hosting bill.
Right.
A physical booklet feels like ownership. Once I print this out, the AHLA can't take it back from me. It becomes part of my physical library.
It's a keepsake, which is a word they use in the text. You don't have keepsakes in the cloud. You just have files.
Right. And for a demographic that values land, vacant land insurance and physical assets, a digital file has less perceived value than something they can actually hold in their hands.
So the AHLA is essentially saying, we get it. We know you hate the temporary nature of the internet. We know you hate the commercialization of recipes. So we are going to give you something that feels like it came from a binder in your grandmother's kitchen.
And in doing so, they align their brand with stability, tradition, and permanence, which, if you think about it, are the exact same values you want in an insurance company.
That is a really strong connection. We are as reliable as this printed pot roast recipe.
It creates a subconscious parallel. If they care this much about preserving the integrity of a venison stew, maybe they'll care that much about handling my liability claim.
It builds trust. And trust is the only currency that really matters in insurance.
It's the only differentiator they have. Coverage is a commodity. Trust is the brand.
I do wonder about the quality control, though. We joked about Connor earlier, but does Connor have to cook all of these?
Huh. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that process.
The text says they want to include delicious entries. That implies some level of curation.
I think the crowdsourcing aspect protects them a bit. If a recipe isn't great, it's not the AHLA's fault. It's, you know, Mike from Idaho's fault.
True. They are just the platform. But it raises an interesting question about the future of this kind of marketing. Do you think we'll see more boring companies trying to do this?
Mm.
Will we see a CPA firm releasing a community playlist or a sewage treatment plant hosting a poetry contest?
I think we will see more of it, but it only works if it's authentic to the lifestyle.
Right.
A CPA firm doing a playlist doesn't really make sense. But a CPA firm doing a best tax season coffee shops guide? Maybe. The AHLA cookbook works because food is intrinsic to the hunting life cycle.
It's not a bolt-on.
It's the conclusion of the event. It's not a bolt-on, exactly.
That's the key. It has to fit the narrative arc of the customer.
Right. You have to ask, what is my customer doing before they use my product, and what are they doing after?
And the AHLA realized that after the insurance does its job of protecting the land,
the customer's cooking.
It seems so obvious once you say it, but I imagine it took some courage to pitch that in a board meeting.
Oh, for sure.
Hey guys, instead of spending our marketing budget on Google Ads for liability coverage, let's ask people for meatloaf recipes.
It requires looking past the metrics. You can't easily measure the ROI of a meatloaf recipe. You can measure clicks, you can measure conversions, but you can't measure warm fuzzies.
Right.
And yet those warm fuzzies are what keep people from canceling their policy.
It's the difference between share of wallet and share of heart.
That sounds cheesy, but in a niche community like this one, it's real. If you win the heart, the wallet follows.
So for the listener who has absolutely zero interest in hunting or land insurance, why should they care about Connor and his cookbook?
They should care because it's a masterclass in reading the room. It's about understanding that your customers are human beings with specific frustrations, like internet industry, recipes, and specific joys, like a full freezer.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tap into those specific emotions, you can turn a simple transaction into a real relationship.
And you can do it with something as simple as a PDF.
You don't need a metaverse strategy. You don't need AI. Sometimes you just need a good recipe for chili and a printer.
I want to circle back to one last thing before we go. The prompt mentions vacant land and guide and outfitters repeatedly.
Yeah.
These are two very different risk profiles. The guide is active. The landowner is passive. Does the cookbook bridge that gap?
That is a great observation. It acts as a great equalizer.
How so?
The wealthy landowner from the city who leases out his property might not know how to hunt, but he likes to eat. The rugged guide who lives on the land hunts every day.
Oh.
In the cookbook, their contributions are equal. Steve the landowner and Buck the guide sit side by side on the page.
It flattens the hierarchy.
It creates a shared culture where there might not have been one before. It gives them a common language food, where previously their only connection was, you know, a contract.
Which is probably the healthiest thing you can do for a business ecosystem. Connect the buyers and the sellers on a human level.
And if they bond over a brisket, they're less likely to sue each other over a property line dispute later.
Liability mitigation through brisket. I think we just found the AHLA's secret mission statement.
It's a bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off for them.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one thought about that printable booklet.
Okay.
We live in this world where we are told that digital is forever. But we all know deep down that digital is actually really fragile. Files get corrupted, passwords get lost, companies go under.
The internet is not written in stone.
Exactly. But paper. Paper assumes a worst-case scenario. It assumes the power might go out. It assumes the Wi-Fi might die. And isn't that exactly what insurance is for? Preparing for the worst-case scenario.
It fits perfectly.
So maybe the most insured thing you can do is print out the things you love and put them in a binder. Because when the screen goes black, you still gotta eat.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Stay safe out there.